Hi, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
How's it going?
It is going. We are recording this on December 17th. There is a surge of Omicron cases in New York City. I learned how to say it because Mike Jensen taught me about a Madonna trick. And I actually think of it even though I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's a little trick that only those very familiar with the Blonde Ambition tour or remixes of Like a Prayer would get. But it's how I remember.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it's funny that you say that this is December 17th. Not that it's funny because it is, but this episode. So we're here to talk about When in Rome, which debuted December 16th, 2021. So just yesterday. Seems like weeks ago. This was directed by Michael Patrick King and written by Julie Rottenberg and Elisa Zaritsky. They're back.
Yay. Butthole Don. We don't really have Butthole Dons this week because we've recorded 3 episodes in 1 week. So yeah. Really, there's nothing new. Everything we covered last week. So if you're thinking to yourself, why are they not answering our questions or saying what we said? Because we probably haven't gotten it yet. So there you go.
Yeah, only one episode has actually come out. The other one is ready to go and will come out on Sunday. It's just, I mean, part of it, we kind of talked about this, like we don't have advanced screenings of these. We're watching them when they come out. But also next week I'm going to be out of town to see my family for the holidays. So
me too.
I can't really do any editing. Yeah, Elisa's also got, so we're doing our best. We're trying to do this as quickly as possible, but also have like a pattern of coming out on Sundays and also, you know, having our lives and working brunch.
But Magda moment really quick. Uh-huh. For those of you who don't remember, that's housekeeping. Thank you so much for sharing and tagging us and telling people. It's unbelievable. I'm in charge of the Instagram where we see most of that. And I was telling Mike, I was like, wow, this is a lot. And it just feels good to have all this love and support. So we really do appreciate that. So thank you. And for all the reviews and all of that stuff. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, very much appreciated. Thank you. So as we start, we're in the recording studio with Jackie, Che, and Carrie. And Jackie thinks he's being stalked.
Which I don't get because we never really talk about it more. We just hear that someone's in his bushes.
Yeah. And Che makes a city bike joke and Carrie counters with a credit card joke that I guess is pretty funny. Maybe she just wants her credit card back.
Yeah, and we notice more about that podcast producer kind of looking at Carrie. And I've taken a city bike once, if you've wondered.
I have never, ever taken a city bike. I think that riding a bike in the city is terrifying. That said, we have a friend who rides them daily, like multiple times a day. Oftentimes at 3:30 in the morning, I'll get a notification.
Mike doesn't just stalk this friend, by the way. They're synced up on their like Apple Fitness thing. So it's not like Mike's like, I just get notifications when he's put his bike away. I actually have ridden a bike in the city once, and I rode a city bike once, and they happened on the same day. I wanted to ride a bike just to see if I could ride a bike. So we went to Roosevelt Island and did it, which was very bike friendly. If you're looking to like test out whether or not you want to ride a bike, I would recommend going to Roosevelt Island, getting a city bike and riding it around there.
Yeah, I rode a bike in Brooklyn. I think it was in Brooklyn. And it's fine. It's just like, it's just scary. Like there are just cars everywhere and they have bike lanes now, but people are always walking in the bike lane and I'm always ready for like a car door to open up and just like send me flying. So I don't know. I find it a little bit terrifying.
Yeah. And especially now with the restaurants in the street, like it's dangerous. You don't, because people just aren't aware that it's a bike lane.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this podcast, I had a moment where I was kind of like checking myself because it made me uncomfortable. Like the conversations that Che is having, the conversations that Carrie is even having at this point. I was like, ew, I don't like this. And then I thought about it. And this is what Howard Stern has been doing on a bigger level and more extreme for years. And I just look at Howard Stern and I'm like, oh, Howard Stern, like, you know, like there you are. Like that's just what you do. But when I see, you know, a female and a non-binary person, like pretty much anyone that's not a man do it, I'm like, you shouldn't be doing that. So that was an interesting moment for me to kind of like reflect.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a blatantly sexual podcast. And I think it's the idea that they just sort of like talk about anything and nothing is taboo, though, you know, it's never a good thing to joke about underage sex.
Actually, that character in general, I'm not a fan of. Like, I don't know. I'm just not a fan of, like, the writing for him in this moment.
Yeah, I think that it's just, like, we haven't really had sort of a duty, for lack of a more proper word, like, perspective, where he's kind of like a gross, I don't mean he's gross. I mean, like, it's like a grossly sexual straight cis male point of view. And I think that's what that's giving air to.
I guess
I don't think anyone's stalking him, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I guess I'm just saying, like, all of his comments thus far haven't had much context to them. Like, we never get the full story.
Yeah, it's just there. It's just there to be kind of gross or sexual. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
And Carrie says that she's triggered by city bikes and my boyfriend maybe flirts with her.
Yeah, that's what I said. That producer guy, I said that my friend Sarah called that, and I think that she may be right. Like, maybe that producer and Carrie are going to have a thing.
Hmm.
You don't like that.
I guess I'll...
Jealous?
Well, I'm a little... it's fine. It's all right.
Well, Mike, if Carrie gets with the producer, then you might see the producer's butt at some point.
That's true. That would be nice. And then I just wrote cat with a bunch of exclamation points.
Yeah, but they use the other word.
I know they do. And listen, I've made a P word joke before and thought that it was funny and then later been like, that wasn't very funny, but it's all right. It is what it is.
I like that you say P word.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, we'll just leave it at that. I do have like a thing when there's a cat on like screen on a television or film that I don't that's all that I see. Like, I'm just like, there's a cat, I'm just gonna look at this cat. Like, it doesn't matter what's happening. Like, there was that did you see that Taylor Swift documentary?
No.
I think it was called Miss Americana, and it, like, one of the opening moments is a kitten walking along a piano, and I was like, this is the most important film ever made.
What did you do when you saw cats? Did you just explode?
No, that's the opposite reaction. Those were not cats.
So Carrie is reading a book called White Teeth. If you're interested, that's the book she puts in her bag.
Yes, and she's packing up her things, and Che sort of congratulates her on a good day. And I will say that, you know, Carrie uses the word zinger, and Che makes fun of that word, and I'm like, it's just a word. Like, is zinger a of the moment word that we don't use anymore?
I think she's just kind of razzing her which is also probably a term we don't use anymore, but razzing her for, you know, just trying to, like, break tension maybe in that moment. And I think we are the same way, like you said, with Jackie is just like there. I think there's a lot of these characters that are just saying certain things so that we can kind of have more information about the women, if that makes sense. Like, I think Che saying that was their way of reminding us that Carrie's not 100% with it.
Gotcha. And then Carrie makes a dead husband joke, which I take as a good sign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she says that it helps to know that they were happiest in the end. And there's sort of the exchange of, like, wouldn't that make it more sad? And Carrie's like, no, it's actually comforting to me to know that we were really, really happy in the end.
Yeah.
Which I also think is a good sign. I think that's a very healthy attitude to have about it. And Carrie is going to a Netflix taping. And I think that's kind of funny. And I wonder if there was any discussion of, like, why wouldn't it be an HBO Max taping? But maybe that would have been too meta, so they make it Netflix instead.
Yeah, and I think, like, Netflix comedy specials, well, we don't really know how famous Che is, but I think that may be more in their league.
I guess that probably is too. And we get to a scene where then Miranda has listened to the podcast, and she's really into Che, and I wrote, has everyone been right? Because everyone's been saying that there's, like, this tension between the two of them, or, like, an attraction. And I've been kind of like, no, that would be a silly storyline, and we'll get more into it. But in this moment, I was like,
well,
okay, maybe I'm
not
wrong.
So much is Miranda into Che. Also, I like that Miranda refers to the politics as a nice blend of polemics and farts.
I didn't write that down because I knew that you were going to write it down.
You're like, my fartometer went off. It was like someone said fart. I have to write it down. Yeah, she goes, and Che is funny. And I guess, I don't know if it's that they're going to be together, but I think Miranda is excited by Che because she is excited that she identifies with someone. And I think what it's doing is it's getting the wheels turning in Miranda's brain that she may be queer. And so I think that might be more what it is, that she's excited to about this person and she wants to get to know this person more because maybe this is going to unleash something in her.
Okay. So Miranda says Carrie seems better, and Carrie thinks that she's in the death trifecta, which I guess has to do with bad nights, the funeral, and then the reading of the will. And she thinks she might eat today. That's kind of all. I don't know. I don't know what more to say about that exchange.
Yeah, she also refers to Che's show as a comedy concert.
Okay, a comedy concert. Sounds good. So we're at the reading of the will, and Gloria is there. We have Norman, who is played by Frank Wood, and I only bring him up because he's in like two episodes of the TV series Newsroom, and he plays a very specific character, and it's hard for me to see him and not like be snapped into this other character. But that's all. He's a very good actor.
Yeah, I was going to say he's in a ton of stuff.
Yeah, he's in a ton of stuff, but just that's what I think of him from. It was a kind of a disturbing role.
So they're at the reading of the will.
Yeah.
And with Gloria. And I, did you pause on the will? I did, and I wrote some stuff down.
Oh, I didn't. Go for it.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can really, none of it's important, but I love to pause on these things when they pop them up on the screen because you know that someone wrote it.
Well, especially this day and age, I feel like in the original series, you would pause and it would be sort of gibberish or nonsense. Or like something that didn't make any sense. And it was because back then, like, you were never going to pause and read it again. And right. Now I feel like they have to put so much effort into it because they know that people are pausing and reading.
I paused on the will. I see the end of Natasha's name. So you see Nijinsky and Barbara Preston, which I'm assuming is his first wife. And then you see that the co-executor of his will is Eric Hamilton. And there are two other men's names. We have Mason Chester and Andrew Riggs. And that just sounds like a Murray Hill financial bro trifecta right there.
It does.
Like, this is Eric Hamilton, Mason Chester, and Andrew Riggs, and we're here to pick up our Patagonia vests.
Very good.
Thank you. So he's left money to Memorial Sloan Kettering, New York Public Theater. Good for Big.
Yeah, good for Big.
And the Preservation Hall, New Orleans, because he loved his jazz.
Yes.
Big loves the jazz.
And then Norman's wife is calling because they had a fight. And maybe not right now, Norman.
Yeah, not right now, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and but I also love that, like, so Carrie's concerned with getting to lunch. And so Gloria takes over. I'm a little confused as to, like, why is Norman even there if Gloria could have run this meeting?
Well, I think officially a lawyer has to be present.
Okay, yeah. It was a weird thing where it's like, Gloria, you just take over. So we cut to Stanford greeting Charlotte at what I assume will eventually be lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlotte didn't know that Carrie had invited Stanford and is worried because she only requested a table for three. Stanford insists a three top is always actually a four top, which is mostly true.
And
for those that, yeah.
Well, yeah, because there's no such thing as a table for three, but I'll get there when I tell you. I think that even though Charlotte says they had a better table in the future, I think that table that they were sat at is probably a table for three.
Yeah, yeah, we will get to that. But it's just in general, like, it's hard to make a table for two into three. It's easier to make a three into a four. It's hard to make a four into five. Like, that's just sort of how tables work.
Right. There is no table for three unless it's a triangle table.
Yes. Or sometimes there's certain booths that work better as a table for three. Anyway, it's fine.
But clearly, to answer your question, Mike, they clearly are at lunch because Stanford is wearing a lunch brooch.
Is that what that's called?
Well, he like goes, I'm here for lunch, and shows his lapel, and it's like a brooch that has like a fork and a spoon. Yeah. And he understands this because he was a host at Odeon.
Yeah, Odeon is in Tribeca. It opened in 1980, so I guess that does make sense that he could have arrived. I've never been there before. But we also found out that Charlotte worked really hard to find a place that Carrie hadn't been to with either Big or Samantha. I don't know. Is there like a list somewhere that she's like listed all the places that Carrie's ever had a meal with Big or Samantha?
She's like, I don't think we've ever been here before, so let's go here.
I guess so.
Why do I have Brett Easton Ellis written down?
Because that's how Stanford met him, was working at Odeon during the 80s cocaine days.
Yes, the 80s.
He's an author, for the record.
Yeah, and then, and in this moment, I'm like, there is tension between Charlotte and Stanford.
Yeah, I actually think this is pretty funny.
Yeah, because I love it, because it's a non-traditional conflict in this show that we haven't seen yet. We really haven't seen any of the women other than Carrie have any conflict with Stanford. I like that in this reboot, and it's sad because of what happens to Willie Garson, but I do love that Stanford is more of a, he's almost like the force
right
now.
In a way.
I think, and I'm wondering if there's going to be a revolving door to that position throughout the series, because other people have said things like, I think Che's going to be the fourth. I think this character that we haven't met yet, Sarita Chowdhury, I think she's going to be the fourth. I think that Lisa Todd Wexley will be the fourth. And I'm just wondering if having Samantha not here leaves that door open, you know, for people to pop in and be that part.
Yeah. And I don't think that, and to that point, I don't think there will ever be a fourth.
Right.
Like, I do think that it will be the three of them. But I think that you're right in that they'll be like, I'm here for this lunch and I'm here for this dinner.
Right. Because before, there was always like supporting characters, like the the Susan Sharons and the Laneys and like all of those people, but they were just bit parts and they weren't in on it. And I think that these people are more like in on the meat of the episode.
Also, because you bring up Susan Sharon, I did want to state really quickly that it occurred to me after we recorded last week that the last time we saw Susan Sharon was actually after Aiden and Carrie had become engaged.
Right.
And Carrie showed her the engagement ring on her necklace. That's all. Just wanted to quickly correct myself on that.
We still don't really know what she did.
No, we have no idea. I don't think anything happened, to be honest with you.
I mean, if they're making note of anything, it's the thing that Carrie said about leaving her husband, like to Susan Sharon to leave her husband. But they resolved that in the episode.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this has been building for years, so I'm just going to say it. You think I'm not part of the inner circle? That's right. My therapist thinks it's because you're threatened by my relationship with Carrie.
You've been talking about me in therapy?
You've come up.
Which is funny, because this was kind of set up in the second episode, too, that, you know, Charlotte's going to be mad. So it's just funny. I like the idea of them fighting. It's funny to me.
So we're back with Norman, who is still on the phone. And they're up to the last gift, and it's $1 million to neither Gloria nor Miranda can say it out loud.
Natasha.
I was right.
And we find out from Norman that usually this means the deceased had some unfinished business, so they throw money at it.
Yeah, because even Gloria didn't know anything about it.
Yeah. And Carrie says she hasn't been eating or sleeping, but she has been washing her hair.
Which is good. So we get to lunch. Can we just cover the entire swinging door joke right now quickly? Because my issue with this joke is that there's this weird idea that people that work at restaurants somehow cause more problems than the people that go to restaurants. Can you imagine working at a restaurant where this door existed and every day that wouldn't be the number one thing in the meeting is make sure you don't open this door too quickly? Like, it's fine. I get that, like, that's what this show does. They give you a situation and then they throw some, like, salt or you know, whatever into it to, like, make it funny. This would never happen. If this has happened to someone, I guess I want you to, like, tell me about it. Because if it hits you in the back one time, that would be kind of amazing. There's no way it would happen over and over and over again in a dining experience.
Right, which is the only reason why I said that table maybe is a three top, because they may have pulled up that chair. And in the real restaurant world, they would have done something like, hey, we can put an extra chair here, but just so you know, the kitchen is right there. So I'm not sure how comfortable it's going to be for you, but you're right. No one would kick the door. I mean, there's been multiple times, because New York City restaurant seating is tight. And there's been multiple times women love to take their huge bags and like put them next to them or put them behind their chair. And I will constantly hit them and I will say to them, hey, I don't want to make you uncomfortable, but it's a tight space. And I don't want to keep knocking into your bag. Do you mind if I move it here? Or can I check this for you? I acknowledge it because, people, like, waiters aren't dicks all the time.
Also, don't you feel like Stanford could just sit next to Carrie?
Yeah, or, like, say something or ask to move or I don't know.
There's just plenty of room there. It's fine. I just wanted to get the joke out of the way because it's one of those ones that doesn't work for me, but it's okay.
But it's all right because Carrie's used to getting slammed.
Well, see, and I thought that was a really...
Is she?
...strange comment. I mean, I thought it was really funny.
Yeah.
But I was also... It felt a little out of character.
Well, they were probably like, we have this line. It's so great. Where's Samantha? Samantha's not here. She can't say it. So who wants it?
Yeah. So Carrie says she was doing well, and now she's just one of the wives he was taking care of, which I guess is an interesting point to make. Miranda asked them to be more careful with the door, but I think mostly just wants another glass of wine.
Right. Another cab. She's moved from Chablis to cab.
Yeah. And it's Is $1 million really only $450,000 after taxes?
I was wondering
because
that.
I get that that's still a lot of money, but that isn't the point of a will that like it doesn't get taxed as much? I don't know. I was a little confused about the law here.
I think it does. I'm assuming it does because they probably know more than we do.
Yeah.
And I think gifts over a certain amount do. I'm not sure. I didn't realize it was that much. I thought maybe it was like 30% to 40%, but that's... That is almost 60%.
Yeah. So Miranda says that Big did destroy Natasha's life, and Charlotte said she looked fine at Bergdorf's, which...
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. So clearly she's fine.
And then, you know, I love that she goes, she cheated on you before he cheated on her, saying that, like, essentially it's Natasha's fault for... Because, you know, Charlotte has always been team Carrie and Big when they would get together. She was always saying, like, I think they should be together. I always thought you two would end up together. And I think in this moment, she's like, no, he was always yours. And it was her fault for, you know, for getting together with him. Like, she would know.
Yeah, because Carrie wants it to be known that Natasha did nothing wrong. And I wrote, Charlotte has some very backwards logic that apparently makes her a good friend.
Right.
Because it doesn't really make any sense, but it's fine. And then I also wrote, Miranda, after legitimately 56 seconds with a wine glass that still has wine in it, wonders where her new wine is. I understand now that we're beginning to hammer home the alcoholic storyline. I'm guessing her waiter hasn't even put that glass of wine in the computer yet. I just don't think people understand how waiting tables and going to a restaurant works.
They don't. And this happens, though. I have this joke at work about there's always the guy at a table where you'll go and say hi, and they're like, we're ready to get some drinks. And you're like, okay, great. What can I get for you? And no one else, everyone's like, I'll have water. I don't know if I'm going to drink. He's like, we want shots. I'm like, okay. Anyone want a shot? No one wants a shot. And then he always orders bottles, and then no one else has any of it. And he keeps, like, it's just obnoxious.
Yeah. Like, I've had it where I'm at a table that asks for something, and I go to my next table and I'm taking that order. And then as I'm going back, the first table is like, we're still waiting on our blah. And I'm like, yeah, I haven't left this area.
There was a guy in the height of the pandemic. Mike was actually standing there for this interaction, and he had ordered a Diet Coke, and he had waited maybe 4 minutes, and it hadn't gotten to his table yet. And he had said something to me very, very rudely, and then said, could you be a little faster with that Diet Coke? And I said, sir, your Diet Coke is arriving right behind me. And he said, good, it took you long enough. To which I said, I will no longer be waiting on you because I won't be treated like this. Where he said, you call yourself a waitress. You have a lot to learn. And I was like, I don't know about that. Like, I think a lot of other things I have a lot to learn, but waitressing I'm pretty good at. And Mike was, like, shaking with anger in the corner.
And I had to restrain myself. Yeah. Charlotte says that Big and Carrie were the happiest couple that she knows. No offense. And then there's the line of, like, Big's gone and Natasha is back. And did you know they were in touch? We get to Carrie back at her apartment. Anything else you want to say about that scene?
No, I mean, we just realized that at this point, it's going to be, like, Carrie at the spy. Like, she's going to figure this out. And I just made that up. So you're welcome.
I was like, did you write that one? Have you been workshopping that one?
No, I just thought of that. I am brilliant. Wow. Like, I'm like mind blown by my mind. She has a coffee cup from Variety Coffee on her table, which is a shop on the Upper East Side. They might have other places too, but
yeah, she can't get into Big's computer, which is a thing that I think about. Like, I think about, like, all of those things that are password protected that, you know,
call Louise.
I don't think that Louise would have been there after they got married.
I know, but it just reminds me of that moment in the movie where she's trying to figure out the password to her computer.
I don't think that Big's password is love.
It could be.
We get to Charlotte reading to Rose, and Charlotte calls her baby girl, which Rose says she hates, and Charlotte assumes it's the baby part, but Rose says it's the girl part, that she doesn't feel like a girl. And I do want to say quickly that I'm still referring to Rose as she, and as soon as Rose requests that I don't, right, I will stop doing
it. And Charlotte falls off the bed.
Yeah. Yeah, because Charlotte kind of makes the thing of, like, well, sometimes I don't feel like a girl. Lily, do you sometimes not feel like a girl? And then, you know, Rose is like, I don't ever feel like a girl. And then, yeah, Charlotte falls off the bed. That's fine.
Which was the first moment in this episode where I thought, okay, this is old school Sex and the City now.
Yes. This whole episode begins to feel much more like old school Sex and the City. We're with Miranda and Steve in a Sunday bar, which I want to support, but it's almost too much. Like, there's too much there.
It's too much there if this was the first night they do it. But we discover later in the episode that Miranda makes the comment, except for our dessert ritual, which leads me to believe that this is something they do often. So if that's the case, then all of those containers can just have lids on them and be put away every night.
Yeah, I guess so. For the record, I'm not watching with closed captions, and I legit thought that Brady said mothballs three
me too
times. Like, I rewound it over and over again. It was like, why is he asking?
Maltballs.
Okay. I was like, why is he asking about mothballs? It's so weird. Yeah, he's asking about maltballs, but it took me a while. And Miranda tells him to use a scoop because she doesn't know where those hands have been. But I think the issue is that she kind of does.
Yeah.
And I like that. Is it a bad idea to let them have sex in the house? And Miranda's like, do you have a time machine? And Louisa makes an old bones comment, and Miranda wonders if they accidentally adopted her. It's funny because we have these characters like Brady and Louisa, and they're there, but we don't really get into them at all. Like, we don't really understand what their characters are. Like, they don't really get a lot of story, which is, it's fine. They're covering a lot of ground as it is, but I wonder if we'll ever learn more about these
particular characters. Yeah, I mean, same with LTW, right? We haven't really delved into her work, but I know there's something there.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. So, Carrie is lying down in her pearls.
It's not strange.
And then she goes to charge her phone. Maybe it's Big's phone.
It's Big's phone, yeah, because that's Big's nightstand. It's his side of the bed, and also there's lube in there.
Yeah.
And she opens it up, and she can't charge it. But I'm thinking, that apartment is probably one of those apartments where there are chargers everywhere. So just find something else.
Probably.
And then she finds a phone number. She goes through all of his suit coats, finds a phone number. I was like, just Google it first, but she calls it, which seems very like risky. What would she do when the person answers? And it's her own house phone number that she's calling, and she sees his vax card and his license, and then a picture of Gogi from 1965.
But also, he has a Metro card.
I'm sure he's taken the subway at some point.
Think so? I can't even imagine it. That was surprising to me. So we're at the bread place now with Anthony, Charlotte, and Rose. And we find out that the bitchy vegans take over the kitchen at 5.
And this all came from Anthony having a sourdough starter. So do the hunky men make sense to you now?
Yeah, I still don't really get it, because I think that having bread delivered is kind of weird. Like, I don't really understand that as a job or a business. But it's fine. I mean, okay. I guess people get everything delivered these days. We have some hand job talk.
And Rose is like, what's a hand job?
It's the things you do with your hands, like what you're doing right now. How old is Rose supposed to be? I guess 12, something like that.
12 or 13, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Anthony tells Rose that she smells, which sort of leads to Charlotte pulling Anthony out to have a talk with him about Rose. And I don't know, do you feel like Anthony is giving good advice here?
I'm kind of torn, because
yeah,
I think
too.
The way Anthony is saying it doesn't sound like the best advice. But the ending thing he says, where she is just a sourdough starter, I think his overall message and intention is just, you don't have to know everything right now. Like, Rose is just opening up the door to have a conversation with you. You don't have to now at this point take charge and decide what Rose was trying to say to you and figure it all out right now and do everything. The best thing you can do as a mom is to just show up and listen and love her.
And that's good advice. It's just the way that it's said feels very strange.
Right. The way it's said, it can also come across that Anthony's saying, like, if I believed everything I thought when I was 12, then I would be a fairy. And then, you know, don't answer that. And,
right.
it almost makes it seem like Anthony's like, no, Rose doesn't know what she's talking about. She's 12 years old. But I don't think that is what he's saying. I think he's saying, like, she's figuring herself out right now, and just allow her the space to do that and support her in whatever she does decide.
Yeah. Also, when Rose was 6, she thought that she was a dog, and Charlotte got her a water bowl, which I think is strange.
Right. So I think that's another thing. Anthony's like, listen, you don't, because Rose, by saying, I don't feel like a girl ever, Miranda's kind of like, so what do I do now? Like, what do I call her now? And Rose may not even know what Rose feels most comfortable as right now. So I think Anthony's just saying, like, if you show up with open arms and loving her, then that'll give her the space she needs.
So Steve is going through his queue, and we're doing ice cream again. So yes, it's a thing they do a lot. And there's some Danish television talk. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, especially during, like, the shutdown, quote unquote, that we spent a lot of time watching a lot of stuff on our various queues.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie calls Miranda about that dog and a pink berry punch card.
Right.
And kind of like, what else don't I know? So she's spiraling, and she's decided to get some FaceTime with Natasha, and she's emailed her already, and there's some Italian that makes Miranda want pasta, but it's actually a high-end cashmere line, and the sixth stage of grief is stalking, and she hasn't heard back.
Right, so she's gonna DM her on Instagram.
Yeah, Steve's about to go to sleep, and Carrie finds her on Instagram and DMs her, and Miranda's like, she'll respond, but instead she blocks her. And I don't know. So I'm only going to say that this ends with Miranda saying she's an effing bitch. And I don't love the term bitch. Like, I think that we kind of throw it around more than I would like. But it does end up being kind of funny in the next scene, which is why I say it here. Because then we get to the ladies in an SUV outside of Natasha's work. And Charlotte telling Carrie that Big loved her. Like, Charlotte's just trying to reassure Carrie. Like, you don't need to spiral. You don't need to be freaked out. Like, you know who Big was. And then Carrie flashes the dog. And refers to the dog as another bitch I knew nothing about.
Yeah.
So there you go. That was a pretty good payout for as far as I'm concerned. And Charlotte tells Carrie that she's acting crazy. Charlotte's really trying to reassure Carrie. And Carrie hopes that she's crazy.
But could you imagine Charlotte in this situation?
Right. Reverse, Charlotte would be in like full meltdown. Yeah, absolutely. And Miranda asks Carrie what the big fear is. And Carrie just sort of says, like, you know, what if Big decided that he chose the wrong person or that he was having an affair? And Charlotte assures her that can't be true. And Carrie says that only one person can assure her, which is when Natasha arrives in flats.
Yeah. And Miranda's like, you really had to dig for that one.
That is the most desperate put down I've ever heard. And Carrie's going to go in, and Miranda and Charlotte are going to go to Starbucks on the corner.
Yeah, and Natasha looks great, but she's not in white, which I thought could be an interesting choice, because she's so
beige. Yeah, I like that.
Beige. Yeah, Natasha Mills is who Carrie asks for, which leads us to believe that Carrie's done some stalking, which she has. And then Carrie sits on the couch waiting, and we cut to Starbucks, where Charlotte asks Miranda for a charger for her phone. Miranda hands over a heavy bag. There will be booze in it,
yeah,
I wrote.
Yeah, for sure. Really quickly on the scenes before, I like Charlotte saying, you look fantastic, and Carrie responding, thanks, I've been dressed since 503. And then I sort of wonder, like, I don't think that Carrie should have given her full name. And her all like, she knows me. Like, it makes it very casual. It makes it, I don't know. I feel like it would have been like, I don't know, maybe a sneakier way would have gotten her better.
Yeah, but maybe Carrie also thinks like, I mean business. You know, she feels like a bad bee.
Yeah, I guess so. And then Miranda makes the comment of like, Carrie's been a while. How long can it take to drag a lifeless Natasha to a service elevator? Because she's been watching too many streaming services. And asks Charlotte if she wants a muffin, but I think really she just wants a muffin. So yeah, then we get to the three empty Tito nips in Miranda's bag. And upon returning, Charlotte brings up the books in Miranda's bag and asks about school, and then Steve. And I think she's kind of like trying to be like, what's going on in your life? Talk to me.
Yeah, she's like, what happened in your childhood that was traumatic? Like, she's just trying to pull any reason as to why Miranda would be drinking right now. And then Miranda and Steve don't have sex.
They haven't had sex in years. Yeah. She doesn't think either of them even thinks about it. And I don't know. I'm not trying to say anything's normal or not normal, but I wonder if Steve hasn't thought about it. I don't know. It feels like something that I have not been married for years and years to someone. So I don't know how common that is, that suddenly it's been years and you haven't had any kind of sexual contact. And Miranda says, are we a couple or just roommates with ice cream and a kid?
Yeah.
And then we get back to Carrie. Mm-hmm. We get back to Carrie, and Amber comes to inform her that Natasha is in Rome. So now we have, I did wonder what the title was going to mean, because I was like, I don't think anyone's going to Rome. But yeah, we're claiming that Natasha's in Rome, and then Carrie and that sheep have a moment together.
Yeah.
There's that big black and white painting, and it just sort of cuts to like Carrie and the sheep kind of staring off into the distance.
I like that.
And then Carrie is outside on her way to Starbucks, and is a crazy lady talking to herself. And I have done this. I have definitely arrived at a place and someone's been like, were you like singing to yourself across the street? And I'm like,
yeah,
sure. Let's go with that. Yeah, and at Starbucks, Miranda can tell that something is wrong because Carrie is, you know, wildly talking to herself. And I see Balthazar across the street, so we are at Crosby and Spring. I've been to this Starbucks. It's very nice and very spacious. So we're on the move, and Carrie is pretty incensed. She's not in Rome. She's in that building.
Hold, please. Did you notice the additional actor doing the background work walk across? Because that actor is pulling... So they're like walking down the street, very Mission Impossible style. And there's an extra with a trunk and with like this huge trunk and a hobby horse strapped to the front of it, just rolling it down the street.
Yes.
I just want to know where she's going. I mean, I think it's like experimental theater, probably headed to La Mama to do like some sort of festival, but I just couldn't let that go. Like, I don't know. Could someone just pull this down the street real quick in the scene?
There we go. We got some extra work going on there. So she basically points at Natasha as she appears in the window, and they all kind of hide and run away. And I don't know if this is how I would have behaved or not, because part of me wants her to be like, yeah, I see you. You're there. You're not in Rome. But I guess in the moment.
But this felt very Sex in the City.
Sure.
Because what do they do every time they see an ex of theirs? They run away.
Right.
It's like their signature move.
So this is why I gave up running, Miranda says. But I want to point out that it's really because she got pregnant. Remember when Miranda was supposed to run in the marathon and then didn't because she had a baby?
Yes.
So Miranda thinks it's kind of funny and Carrie thinks it's humiliating. And she's been humiliated in front of that woman enough. And Charlotte thinks Natasha should be humiliated because Carrie caught her in a lie, which I think is true.
Carrie also has this line where she says, I have never been so humiliated. And she has that same line in the first movie when she gets left at the altar. I just thought it was interesting. I was like, I've heard you say this before.
Yeah, she just says, I am humiliated in that moment. In this one, she's never been more humiliated. So I guess this is worse than being stood up at the altar. Oh. And Carrie says that Tasha caught her in the truth. And is this a water pick? Is this what?
Yes.
Okay. I was like, what on earth is that contraption?
Yes. Yeah, that is a water pick. And we also see in this moment or before in that moment that Carrie does have two phones.
Okay. All right.
So it's not going to be like a switch off. There is a BlackBerry and an iPhone.
So it's early and Carrie is up walking and Carrie's discovered that thousands of people run in the morning and everyone has a dog, which is kind of true. And Harry enters to pee and has a point. She's like, are you peeing? And she's like, yeah, it's a bathroom. You're the one on the phone in here.
Yeah, it's like the one time when I was really drunk and I fell asleep on the toilet and my friends were like, I have to pee. And I was like, 5 more minutes. And they're like, no, this is a bathroom. You don't get to sleep here. So then I slept in the bathtub.
So Carrie wants to tell Charlotte that Miranda is meeting them at the venue. So Carrie will pick Charlotte up and then Harry's still peeing. And that's kind of this entire scene. We get to the next scene is Miranda approaching Carrie on the university steps. I believe we're at Grant's tomb.
Okay.
Is I think where this is being filmed, which is very close to Columbia. We're not super far off, but it's Grant's tomb, which I walk by not infrequently. And Miranda can't believe that she walked that far and in those shoes, and Carrie refers to these shoes as her sneakers.
And I do that too when I'm really stressed or sad. I walk. I'm a walker.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Carrie says she can't stop walking. It's the only thing that helps and it's not helping. And we kind of get back to Carrie using her friends as her therapist. And I get that we all do this. We all kind of, but I do in this moment want to be like, Carrie, you really need to be seeing a therapist, Carrie. Carrie's mad at Big.
I almost forgot how I used to feel all those years ago. You know, so nervous and insecure and desperate. You know, like what we had wasn't enough. Like I wasn't enough. And I just hate that after all the good years, this is what I'm left with. He ruined our happy, sad ending.
And thanks for not arguing. You know, in this moment, she just needed someone to talk to and not someone to say back to her, you know, you're not crazy. Like, she just needed to say it. And then I wrote that Charlotte is commanding the dog to poop.
Well, sometimes you gotta do it.
She's like, go, go, go. Carrie's on the Upper West Side and tells Charlotte that she has to be able to call herself a mess. This is going back to like, I need to be able to say these things and not have you argue with me.
Yeah, she is on 82nd in Amsterdam.
She's going to buy something in this shop so she can pee there, which will then mean that she'll have to pee again somewhere else. And this is a real thing, especially like during, I remember like walking around during like prime COVID where there was nowhere to go in. Like it did get a little bit stressful for those of us that like to walk a lot. And Carrie goes in to use the bathroom, and of course...
we meet Natasha in the all-gender restroom.
There she is.
And so Carrie throws her coffee on herself.
And she has a burning of her hand as she throws her coffee on herself. And I said Natasha thinks Carrie has stalked her there, which I get, like, this is a real coincidence. But really? You think that Carrie, like, stalked you to this bathroom and then just really wanted to watch you pee as well?
I don't know. You know when your friends are done biking.
And this isn't even your neighborhood, which indicates that Carrie knows what her neighborhood is. And we get a, like, what the F do you want from me? Really, really loud in this little coffee shop. And she's not even really sure anymore. And Natasha says she doesn't have a minute and doesn't want to think about her anymore. I've given you more minutes than you deserve. And Carrie actually agrees. And I think it may be in this that Natasha realizes that Carrie doesn't want to fight, that she begins to, you know, she mentions her burn and puts some ice in a baggie and reveals that she has a son, too, actually.
Yeah.
And if this is about the will, you know, she doesn't know why she left it. They haven't spoken since the divorce, which already clears up several things for Carrie, I think.
Right. And I, you know, so after Natasha pours like her leftover spit coffee in a Ziploc bag for Carrie, we find out that there's nothing more. Like, there's nothing left. Like, she doesn't know why that money was left. And maybe, you know, Carrie says it was probably his way of saying, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he was a finance guy and he's not good with words.
You know, and Natasha says something very important where I love this moment because I like Natasha in this moment where she's like, I'm sorry, it's all in the past, but maybe we shouldn't follow each other on Instagram. Like, kind of this reminder that, like, you know, there's that quote, relationships don't end, they change. But also, sometimes relationships do end, right? Like, sometimes there's people in your life that come in there for a reason. And just because they've left your life, it doesn't mean that you have to always know what's going on with them. I think it's so important in this moment that, like, not everyone has to be in our lives at all times that we've ever interacted with.
Yeah. And when Natasha leaves, Carrie gets very emotional. And I would love to, like, sit with Sarah Jessica Parker and be like, can you explain everything that happens here? Because she goes through so many I just think it's really powerful, like, what we see SJP do here. So we get to the taping, and she's dated a lot. Men, women, men who actually know how to please a woman. He was nice. And Miranda's like, woo!
Yeah. Miranda, I mean, it's funny because the show's called Check the Box.
Uh-huh.
And it's interesting to me because Che eventually does have some great moments in this stand-up, but their stand-up at this point isn't mind-blowingly hilarious, but to Miranda, it is.
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing. Nothing is harder to write than a comedy routine. It's hard to write when you're doing comedy. It's really hard to write for television or film. Like, I've maybe never seen a film or television show that has comedy, like, really, really well done. I feel like Hacks kind of came the closest to it, but even that usually ended up being commentary on the comedy that they were saying. It's just really hard to do a convincing comedy routine.
Right, unless it's like a show like Seinfeld, where Jerry Seinfeld was writing probably his own comedy for those moments.
Yeah, it's tough to get it right. I kind of looked at this as though we are at the end of this set.
Mm-hmm.
I bet all the jokes had already been told. And now, you know, the comedians kind of like sometimes in the last little bit, like, it's still funny, but we're going to like talk about the situation a little bit more. That's kind of what I took this as, because it's, you know, now we get a lot about gender and identity and how it's always only one of us and they're always sad. And I'm not always sad. I'm not always alone. And we sort of intersperse this with like Charlotte being worried about not having a seat and worried that she's going to smell like pot. But yeah, I wrote Miranda's a very into it. And Che tells the story of coming out.
The Thanksgiving I came out to my family, I stood up in the living room and I was like, family, I love you. And I just want you to know that I am queer and non-binary and bisexual. And they were like, that's nice. Can you move? You're blocking the game. Yay! Move. And I was like, oh shit. Oh shit, that's it? I set aside 4 hours for this, but okay.
Yeah, and I said, Charlotte should be listening. And then you realize, oh, Charlotte is listening.
Yeah, her family loves her, and Charlotte is clearly moved by this. And I love the whole, it's better to be confused than to be sure. I've talked about this elsewhere of like, I don't ever want to know it all. Whenever anyone is like, seems like they know it, I'm like, if you know it all, you can't learn anything. It's the whole idea of, I don't like the idea of like, someone completing someone or being complete. Like, why would you want to be complete? I always want to have room to like, learn more and be better and experience new things. So I do really, really like that line a lot.
Well, and I love this whole idea too about, you know, when it comes to sexuality and gender, because, you know, I think that my life and my experience with this would have been much, I don't want to say easier, but would have made more sense to me if someone would have said to me, like, you don't have to know these things, you know, like, it's better to be confused than, because I've had that experience, right? I've dated women, I've dated men, and even to this day, when someone's like, so what do you like? Like, I'm like, I like people. Like, that's just what I identify as a person who likes people, and that's it. Like, I don't know, you know, exactly what that means for me. And I like that Chase says that too. You know, there are times when I find myself more attracted to men. There are times when I find myself more attracted to women. And I think it would have saved me a lot of heartache and pain and shame for many years if I would have just had someone like Che saying, yeah, figure it out. You don't have to figure it all out, but just figure it out. Like, give yourself that time to think and figure things out.
Yeah, so it's the idea of, we all have something that we need to change and just step out of the box and change it. And then she makes fun of someone's dated shirt, but isn't that pro fast fashion? Like, you can wear clothes for as long as you want, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now, I don't really know our friends. We were talking about fashion choices and Gen Z and how it's all very 90s. And then our friend in like a full millennial mom moment just screamed, Gen Z dresses like trash, which made me laugh. But yes, I think we don't need to keep up. Don't support fast fashion.
Right. So, and then it sort of ends with, to everyone that wants her to be sad. And I wrote, like, the end joke is pretty good. So because her comment is like, you can suck my dick. And then it's like, I don't have one of those, or I would have gotten this special 5 years ago, which is a pretty good, that's a pretty good ending to a comedy routine. But don't drop microphones. It's really bad for the microphone.
But it made you laugh in the first episode when Carrie said it.
Yeah, but that's because she just said it. I'm saying you can say it, don't do it.
Okay.
And Miranda's very, very impressed. And Carrie says that she has to go backstage, and then they can go, and they for sure are not going to the after party, which I'm kind of like, go to the after party, go for 2 minutes. Like, I don't know.
And we find out they're at Webster Hall.
Yeah, they're at Webster Hall. Charlotte's making a call to Rose just to tell her that she loves her and is thinking of her, and the car is there for Charlotte and Carrie. Miranda says her car is almost there, but Miranda's gonna go to that after party. Now there's a lot of smoking indoors.
Is it marijuana or is it cigarettes? I'm assuming it's marijuana.
I don't think you're allowed to smoke either inside. And we get Rambo, and Carrie said you were all heading home, and Miranda was, but she kept hearing about the change, and that she wanted to change and not just like be a robot who goes home. And we get to like, change is hard. And I will say that Shay has that kind of like they're talking to Miranda, but also like glancing around the room. I feel like this is the kind of person that I would fall for, where you're like, you're only kind of paying attention to me. And I love that. But that's neither here nor there.
And Miranda just can't shut up. And then Che offers Miranda some marijuana, and Miranda's like, I don't know.
Well, she says, I was never good at that, and things that I'm not good at, I tend to abandon. What were we just talking about?
Right. But then Miranda does say yes, because Che offers to shotgun her, which
is not
feel
COVID
safe.
Friendly at all. Yeah. Yeah. But it's all right, and we have a moment, and maybe, you know, maybe it's not sexual, maybe it's just... I guess we'll see what it is. I have conflicting feelings about this.
I don't think it is.
Okay.
I don't think it's sexual. I think that they are setting this up so that we think it's going to be sexual, but in reality, it's just opening up Miranda's sexuality. I don't think that Che in this moment is trying to seduce Miranda.
So we get to Charlotte and Carrie in the car, and how was that? And it was perfect. It was a pause button.
Could I talk to you about something that's been on my mind? It's about Miranda and her drinking. I know she has a lot going on, but I think she has a problem.
And Carrie has the thing of like, aren't we all drinking too much right now?
But she found 3 tiny Tito's bottles, yeah. Which is a new nursery rhyme, I think.
And Carrie says, could you please stop noticing things? I don't know. I don't know if that's helpful or not. And Carrie gets out at her building. There, I mean, I feel like we're led to believe this is 5050 Fifth Avenue. Is that the address on the...
I didn't read it.
Yeah, it's not a thing. I mean, it's fake signage.
But I did notice John Tracy Egan plays the doorman.
Who's also named Joe.
Right.
But is a different actor. So one of 2 things. Either they only hire a doorman named Joe, or Carrie thinks that every doorman that works there's name is Joe.
Or in reality, they didn't realize that they were going to need Joe for another episode and just was like, these people are dumb. They're not going to notice.
I noticed. Mm-hmm. Carrie's going to go for a walk, and she walks to her old place. And just like that, I walked myself home.
2 thoughts. Either Carrie's just going to start hanging out there, or I think Carrie might move back there.
I had that same thought of wondering if Carrie will say, I don't need this apartment that is too big for me. I love my old space. Yeah, we'll see. I could see either of those being true, and I'm curious. I will accept either of those as possibilities, but I'm very curious to see which way it ends up going.
Yeah, and I think that I want to see the clown table.
I think the clown is gone, Elise. I think it's gone.
I couldn't help but wonder if that clown table is still inside. I've already done it, and I couldn't help but wonder about the clown table, haven't I?
I think you have.
All right. Well, I still couldn't help but wonder if that clown table is inside.
Yeah, and I guess I couldn't help but wonder why there was so much smoking happening in that bar. Because I get if it's a private event, but there are still employees there. And as an employee, I don't want to be working in your filthy smog.
Well, Mike, we won't be hiring you at Webster Hall.
Yeah, very true. And just a quick thing for people that care about end credits. So like maybe just me, but we have now dropped the Chris Noth because he was not in the episode at all. Yeah. And we end with an and Sada Ramirez now. So they've moved from the with to the and that's the button on our credits. Yeah. I like that. This felt much more like Sex and the City to me.
Yeah, for sure. With all the like funny moments and the running away.
That's it. Well, we'll talk to y'all next week when we're back. You know what? We already know what the next episode is titled. So the next episode is called Some of My Best Friends
Are Gay.
So we'll see what that's all about. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.
For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. And don't forget to check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone, put up a link or tell a friend, take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. Most importantly, stay safe, and let's all take care of each other. We'll be back next week with some of my best friends.
That Stanford's therapist thinks Samantha is threatened by her relationship with Carrie, which...
Not Samantha, though, Charlotte.
Well, maybe Samantha was too, but I wrote... Oh, yes, I did write Charlotte.
You are paused.
You are paused.
You are gone. Yeah. Oh, now you are back. You are a large phase.
I am self-conscious.
I feel like there are going to be a lot of moments in this when I'm editing that I'll be like, oh, that's what she was saying, because you have paused many times during our conversation.
Same, yeah.
Okay, so it'll be a surprise for both of us when the episode comes out.